Oh, praise His name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't He good? Lord, we just appreciate You so much and thank You for Your goodness to us, Your presence today, Lord. You refresh us, renew us, revive us, restore us, strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, You lift us up. Lord, even to places where we don't deserve to be. But because of Your goodness, because of Your mercy, because of Your grace, because of what You did for us, Lord, we can now be called the children of God. Hallelujah. And we appreciate You. Lord, we want to serve You the rest of our days because You deserve it. Help us to do just that, Lord God. To give ourselves fully to You, Lord God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. By the way, we're continuing to pray. We just took the dates out. So now every day at 5 o'clock, we're having prayer. Come on out. 5 o'clock every evening, Monday through Friday. 5 at 5. We're just storming heaven because how many know America needs the Lord? Amen. And the church needs revival. Amen. So we continue to pray and believe. Hallelujah for a greater glory, a greater weight of glory to come. Hallelujah that captives will be set free. Blind eyes will open. Deaf ears will hear. Hallelujah. Yes, the captives will be released from captivity. Hallelujah. The opening of the prison bars to those who are bound in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. You are the bondage breaker, Lord. You've come to set the captives free. Thank You. And we believe, Lord, that You are doing that even today. Hallelujah. As we declare freedom to the captives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Well, how many know that you have been invited to a wedding? In this wedding, amen, celebration, I believe, will go on for eternity. You know, the New Testament speaks, of course, as you and I being in Christ, the church being the bride, right? The bride of Christ, and the Lord being our bridegroom. So I want to continue on this theme because I feel it's so important that we really grasp this and understand this, especially when we enter in to partaking of communion, that we really understand what we're doing here, what this really represents. And so it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, that we can come into this new covenant or agreement, amen, that's sealed in His blood and to be joined to Him as His bride. And so we're now living in the days of our spousal, if you will. There's coming a day when we will enter in to the bridal chamber, and there's going to be what's called the wedding supper of the Lamb. And only those who are holy will be there. Amen. And so nothing, by the way, that defiles will be allowed in heaven. No sin will be in heaven. It would ruin heaven. And that's why we all need the mercy of God. So what we can be holy, and we can be qualified to be in God's presence. Because of sin, we were separated, amen? But through Christ, we can be reunited to fellowship with the Father. And so our Lord Jesus, the heavenly bridegroom, He's returned to the Father's house. That's what He told us in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And of course, He's speaking of the bridegroom, amen, would return to His Father's house, right, to build a home for His bride. And when the time was right, when it was accomplished, when it was ready, He would return and receive His bride. And He would take her to be with Him to the abode. Amen. The heavenly abode. And so this is what's happening right now, is the Lord is preparing a dwelling place. He's preparing a place for His bride. And the bride, you and I in Christ, are in preparation for that day. Amen. As the bride would go through ceremonial washing, she'd have to be pure. Amen. Ceremonially. Today, we are purified in the blood of Christ. Amen. And through repentance, confession, amen, there is a cleansing that comes. And then we are marked by the Holy Spirit and set apart, amen, as God's special people. All right? And we then become the bride. Amen? Now, again, we need to make sure that as the bride, that we are living right. Amen. If anybody's been married here or are married, you understand that there's a certain time when you, most people have an espousal time, or they have this time where we call, we're what? Engaged to be married, right? And so when you're in during that engagement time, you know, you are preparing for the great day when the marriage would be consummated, right? And so that meant that you would not have eyes for anyone else. You would have no other lovers. You would keep yourself for the one that you are espoused to marry, right? And so today, God is calling His church to purity as His bride, to keep ourselves undefiled from this world. And we cannot do that apart from Him, apart from His grace, amen, and apart from the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Jesus that sanctifies us, amen. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, amen, because this is a blood covenant that we've entered into. Jesus bled on the cross, shed His blood. And through that blood, we can come into marriage or covenant with Him, espousal to be, right? To the day will come when Jesus will return from heaven in the appointed time of the Father. The Father will tell the Son, it's now time to go get your bride. And so the bride needs to be in a state of preparation, amen, in readiness. And the bride would actually sleep in her bridal gown, okay? Meaning that at any time the bridegroom could come. And I need to be ready, because if he comes at midnight hour, all right, I'm ready to go. I've got my garments and I'm ready to go. And so the Lord provides the garments for us. We are to be clothed in Him who is our righteousness. Christ is our clothing. Amen. Adam in the beginning was clothed in the glory of God until sin, and then he became naked. He lost the glory that covered him. Through Jesus Christ, amen, we can now be reunited to fellowship with Him and be clothed in righteousness again, so that we can confidently come to the Father, amen. Because apart from the blood of Christ, no one is good enough or holy enough or righteous enough to be in God's presence. So we need to understand, right? That's what Jesus did for us. He paid the price for our sins. The Father laid upon Him the iniquity of us all, so we could be clean. If we will repent and turn to Jesus, amen, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Blot out the transgressions, amen? Not hold them against us anymore. To purge every iniquity. He is the only one that can cleanse and make us holy. Under the law, man tried to be holy in his own efforts, but was unable to. And so the law was, if you will, a tutor or schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law simply revealed to us that we were sinful and that we had fallen short of the glory of God. All right? So if we try to live under law and try to be holy by self-effort, we'll never be holy enough. The only way we can come to the Father is through the blood of Jesus. The only way is Jesus Christ. The only truth is Jesus Christ. Amen? The only life. No man comes to the Father, He said, but by Me. So all of humanity is actually invited to this wedding. The invitations are going out today. If you are in Christ, then you are also an ambassador for Christ to give the invitation to others to come to Jesus, amen, that you might be prepared, because he's inviting you to a celebration, the wedding supper of the Lamb. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. You see, in order to come to this wedding, first of all, you must respond. And secondly, you must come on his terms. You can't come in your own goodness, in your own righteousness. You can't stand before God and say, God, I'm thankful that I'm not like other people. Amen? Because apart from him, no one is holy and no one is qualified to be in God's presence. That's what happened, amen, when Adam and Eve sinned. They were separated. But the Lord is the one that came looking for them. And the same thing is true when Jesus came to this earth. He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, again, according to Middle East customs, it was the father of the groom who helped plan the wedding. And the father would also prepare and pay for the wedding, a dowry, even. So the father paid for our salvation with the precious blood of Jesus. The weddings were lavish. They lasted for days. And everything was the best. The wine, the food was always the best. As a matter of fact, it was at one of these weddings, remember, when Jesus turned the 180 gallons of water into wine. All right? So there was singing, there was dancing, there was eating and drinking, there was joy and gladness at these weddings. In other words, they had a blast. How many know that God knows how to throw a party? Amen? Now, let's get over our ideas that somehow it's all about doom and gloom. All right? Because God, amen, came in the person of Jesus Christ, and he attended one of these weddings, and he turned the water into wine. He attended, amen, one of these, because Jesus was not about human, earthly drunkenness. What he was trying to say is, if you really want to have joy, you need to come to me, because I serve the best. The stuff of the world will leave you empty. But what I give you is eternal. It's abundant life. And I don't know about you, but I know what it is to be in the world and to drink the stuff of the world. And now I'm drinking from the springs of living water. And happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Amen? Now I'm dining at the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the Lord will... what? Prepare for us a banquet, a table in the presence of our enemies. In other words, he's opened the way into the holiest. And now by the way of the blood, we can come in to his presence and receive everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. We can enjoy fellowship with God. And in heaven, there is joy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, people aren't moping around in heaven. There's continuous praise around the throne. Hallelujah. Now the king said in verse 4, tell those who are invited, the ones that refuse the invitation, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. So what God is inviting to us is not something that's stale or boring. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen. Being in his presence is a wonderful place to be. And by his spirit, we have a taste of heaven, don't we? We have heaven in our hearts. Hallelujah. And we need to know how to come and drink at the well of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, and satisfy ourselves and delight ourselves in him. When you are delighting yourself in the Lord, you don't need the inferior stuff of this world. Come on. And just leaves no regret. You don't wake up with a headache or hungover the next day. Praise God. God is inviting mankind. There's an invitation going out to a full and satisfying life with Him. And you know, this is the thing, is the enemy lies to people and he tells them that somehow they're going to lose out if they fully commit their lives to the Lord. Yeah? This is a lie of Satan. He entices young people to get involved in the polluted pools and the things of this life. Amen? Telling and baiting them with things that have maybe a temporary pleasure, but they leave you empty and wanting and sick. Amen? But what God gives is pure and holy and wonderful and leaves no regret. Amen? But the devil convinces people that somehow they're going to lose out if they really give their lives to Jesus. So a lot of people try to live somewhere in between. And how many know that that doesn't work? You can't be lukewarm. God's going to spit those who are lukewarm out, it says. So when you give your life to Jesus, it means that you're fully committing yourself to Him. Why? Because we are His bride, and He expects His bride to have eyes for no other lovers, amen? To be fully committed to the One who is fully committed to us. Aren't you glad that He is faithful to us? And because He's faithful to me, I can be faithful to Him. You know, John 10:10, the Bible says the thief, the devil, comes to what? Right. To steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So don't listen to the lie that somehow, because there's a lot of people that are just kind of right at the line there. And their toe is just kind of barely going over their line. And they're thinking, well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite ready. Have you heard that one? I'm not quite ready yet. And so they may come and they may sample Christianity. They may sample the Lord, you know, and but they're not willing to give God everything. And so they remain in darkness because in the areas where I'm rebelling against allowing God access, amen, those are the areas where the devil can continue to operate in my life. If you want to truly be free indeed, you've got to give God the whole offering. You're going to give God your entire life. Are you hearing me? And when you give your life to Him, you discover abundant, exceptionally abundant, amen? Overflowing, superior quality and quantity, if you will, of life in Jesus Christ. But you've got to step over that line. You've got to come to the place where you made up your mind, where you repent, and you turn to God fully, amen, with your whole heart. And you'll enter into life and you'll say, oh, am I glad. How many, when you came to the Lord, say, I wish I had done this earlier in my life. So the father in this parable had everything prepared. Everything was ready. And the invitations were going out. But there were some that didn't esteem that as being all that important. Because they were too preoccupied with their own things and their own life. That they didn't have time for what the host of this wedding was preparing and offering them. You know, Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. I find that the Lord is pleasurable. I mean, the greatest pleasure, the greatest joy is in Jesus. And the devil again lies to people and says that somehow you're going to miss out if you give your life fully to God. And what he wants to do is he wants to keep you captive. He wants to hold you in bondage. If he can get you to refuse to fully surrender your life to the Lord, he can continue to keep you bound. Don't listen to his lies. You've got to give your full heart to Jesus. Amen. So when people reject God's invitation, they're actually rejecting the mercy and the eternal life that he's offering them. So when you say no to God, you're basically saying no to eternal life, even to abundant life. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So what is the will of the Father in heaven? John 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And John 6 and 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Are there any believers in here today? What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe? Oh, I mean, do you just believe with your head and your intellect? I agree with this. This is good. Yes. No. To believe means that I fully commit myself to him. I believe the report. I believe the word of God. I believe what God has called me to. Are you hearing me? And I'm willing to surrender my life to him. We are today to offer our bodies back to God. If you're a believer today, your body is not your own. You're not your own. You're to give God your whole life. If you're giving God your body, you're giving him everything else. So we're not our own. We've been purchased at the highest cost. The dowry has been paid. No expense was spared, amen, in our salvation. Jesus bled and died, and he bled and died willingly for you and for me so that we could be saved, amen, and that we could share in his eternal kingdom. For the Father, amen, is preparing a banquet for those who come to Jesus, amen. And this is going to go on forever, and it's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. God is inviting us to this banqueting table. When we talk about communion, what does it mean? It means fellowship. It means mutual sharing. All right? It's communion is intimate connection with God. When you are espoused to someone, amen, it's because there is a bond that goes deeper, amen, than just the surface. It means that in your heart or in your soul, you are connected to that person. You are committed to that person. You've already made up your mind that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. Amen? So when you say yes to an espousal or to, you know, I'm going to be committed to you, right? You're saying that it's as if I'm already married to you. All right? The only thing that hasn't happened is the consummation of that marriage. And so it is when we say yes to God, when we say yes to the Lord, when we ask the Lord to come into our lives, to be our Lord, to be our Savior, amen, we're saying that, Lord, I receive the cup. That means I pledge my faith to you. And I am committed now to you. I will have no other gods, no other lovers. I will not allow any idols to come between you and me, because I have said yes to the cup. I've drank of the cup that says, I receive you. I accept your invitation to marriage. Is this making sense today? So you understand, to be a follower of Jesus means to be fully committed to him as he is fully committed to you. And that I live the rest of my life for him, because I'm no longer my own. That's why John warned the church at the closing of his book in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. He's saying, keep yourself from anything that would take the place of God in your hearts. So you've got to ask the question, is there anything in my life that is taking the place of God? Is there anything in this present world more important to you than the will of God for you? Because if there is, it means it's become an idol. Nothing should be more important to a child of God than the will of God for us. So we need to say, Lord, if there are any idols in me, I ask you to topple them. I ask you to crush them down. I don't want anything in my life, anything in my heart that's going to take your place. How many know that following Jesus is the ultimate life? You see, what happened in this invitation to this wedding feast, some people made light of it in verse 5. They made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And so the question we need to ask is, do I make light of the gospel? How many know the Father expects more from us than just a sinner's prayer at an altar? Because this is an invitation to be joined to the Lord in marriage. This is an invitation to share in the life of Jesus. And the Father has made this possible for us. And once again, this privilege, and that it is a privilege, came at a very high cost, the highest cost, the blood of his Son shed for us at the cross. 1 Peter 1:18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. When you are married to somebody, you're no longer your own. Amen. So this wedding invitation first came to the Jewish people. Amen. In verse 6 it says, they seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. And that's what happened. Amen. The Jews rejected Christ and even murdered those who were sent to them, even the prophets. In John 1:11, though, it says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Stephen rebuked them in his day. In Acts 7:51, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. Speaking of Jesus. So what was the Father's response towards those who rejected his invitation? Verse 7. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And this is exactly what happened around 70 AD. The city of Jerusalem was burnt and destroyed by the Roman army under Titus. But listen, guys, there's a worse punishment than this for those who reject the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And upon all those who even persecute God's servants, even the vengeance of eternal fire. In 1 Peter 4:17, it says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to a faithful creator. Amen. And yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, to live a sanctified life, to live a committed life to Jesus, will suffer persecution. The world will hate you just like they hated Jesus. Amen. But know that God will reward you. Amen. For your faithfulness. And he remains faithful to his people. So no matter what you face in life, know that God is with you. God is for you. His grace is sufficient for you. You can do all things through Christ because he is the strength of your life, and we will not fear what man can do to us. Amen. Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill your body and have no more to do with you, but fear him who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. Fear him, he said. Fear God and depart from evil. So the king had every reason to be upset. Because he had done everything to make this possible for people to come to this wedding, to this great celebration, to escape death and to enter into life. Amen? And so instead they disregarded his invitation and they trampled on those who were sent to them. So the God, you know, for God has a reason to be upset with people who, having heard the gospel, who have heard about the love of God and yet have rejected it. God has every reason to be upset with them. Especially at the cost it came. So God is grieved when people make light of his salvation. So when a king gives an invitation, your plans are no longer the priority. You know, simply the office, let's say the office of the president, and I don't want to talk about who's in there or any of that right now, but the office of the president of the United States, if you were summoned, if you were called to come to the White House to meet with the president, how many know that that has now become the priority of your life? All right? When a king would invite someone into his courtroom, or his throne room, should I say, that became the priority. Everything else was secondary to that. You see, but there are many today who have been given this invitation to come to the king. They're being summoned by the king to come into his presence by way of the blood of Jesus, because a price has been paid for their salvation. Amen. But they make light of it instead. And they go to their farm or to their business, and they live their life independent of God. God has every right to be upset with those who reject such great love that was demonstrated for us at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Hallelujah. In verse 8, he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy." Why were they unworthy? Because they refused to obey his summons. They refused his voice. Hebrews 12:25, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." Today is the day of salvation. Today the king extends his invitation to all. So what did he say in verse 9? He said, "Then go out into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." That's our mission, folks, to invite to the wedding. To invite people to come to Jesus, that their sins may be blotted out. Amen? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Hallelujah. If people will say yes, it doesn't matter how vile, how sinful, how far away from God. If they will say yes to an invitation, well, the price has already been paid. The provision has already been made. Amen? God wants to forgive people. God wants to save people. God wants to cleanse people. Amen? He wants to restore people. They just need to know what God is inviting them to. A deliverance from this sin-sick world, hallelujah, to spend eternity in glory with God. In Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Hallelujah. All things are ready. The Father has prepared a dwelling place. The time is coming when Jesus shall return for those who are looking for him. And those who are looking for him are those who are living for him. Those who are looking for him are those who have committed their lives to him. And have no other gods, no other lovers. Are you hearing me? Lord, everything you have is mine. And everything I have is yours. We are married. I have said yes to the marital wine. Amen. I've taken and I've drank of the cup to say, Lord, I pledge my faith to you. I accept your invitation. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, verse 10, those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Why was he speechless? Because he must have known he was supposed to have that. Why? Because that was supplied by the host. How many know that we must be clothed in Christ? He knew better. In verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will, Luke 12:47, and did not prepare himself, or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Revelation 16:15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Adam and Eve tried to cover their own shame, didn't they? They tried to use their own methods to cover their nakedness, the fig leaves that they sewn together. But God says it's not sufficient. There had to be a sacrifice, the shedding of blood. And then God clothed them in animal hides. In other words, God was the one that was going to cover them. They could not cover their own nakedness. You see, some people think if I just do a lot of good things that somehow that's going to cover my nakedness. If I'm just a good person, then that will cover my nakedness. Or if I, you know, I just choose my own path to God. But there's only one path, one way, one truth, one life. Jesus said, I am the only way. You cannot be saved except through me. Why? Because the blood, amen, of the covenant was shed for us at Calvary. And only through the blood can we enter into life. Only by the blood can we stand in the presence of God complete. Amen? And what God does is He restores to us, amen, that which we lost, our covering. You see, everything under the old system, under the old covenant, amen, in the temple had to be covered. It had to be sanctified with blood and oil. There had to be a cleansing of the blood, amen, and then the oil. Are you hearing me? Today, we are to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus, amen, and we are to be clothed in Jesus Christ. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God in us. It's the Holy Spirit that seals us, that marks us, and sets us apart as a child of God, amen. And so the garment can only be provided by the Lord Himself. We cannot provide a garment for ourselves. And that's why this man was speechless, because he tried to get in on his own terms. And there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so in verse 13, the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe, guys, this also talks about people who say yes to the invitation, but do not prepare for the king's presence. Lip service without genuine conversion. Expecting salvation without repentance. It doesn't have to end there, because right now we're living in the time of God's grace. The invitation is going out. It's still possible for someone to come to Jesus today. Amen. Praise God for that. If they come on His terms. His terms mean you must die to your way, to your life. You must give me your life. If you give Him your life, He will give you His life. If you're willing to commit yourself to Him, He's already committed to you. This is a covenant that we enter into in the blood of Jesus. Amen. So when we take the communion, when we take the cup, we are pledging our faith anew. We are reminding ourselves about our heavenly bridegroom, amen, that has gone into heaven, has gone and returned to the Father's house to prepare a dwelling place, amen. And when the time is right, again, the Father is going to send the Son to get His church, His people, His bride. Who is the bride? The faithful ones who have given themselves to Him, have committed themselves to the faithful one. Are you hearing me today? Those who are truly repentant enter into His life. Hallelujah. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. We don't live any longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. We live, amen, in the presence of God today. We rely upon the grace of God. We don't rely upon our own righteousness. Amen. We don't rely upon our own willpower to live holy. Amen. We fully lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I am not righteous apart from Him. My righteousness is Christ in me. Amen? He's the hope of glory that I have today. Hallelujah. I'm not living in fear or condemnation or guilt and shame. Amen? Why? Because I've come to Jesus. Amen? I've repented. I've given Him my life. Hallelujah. And He has forgiven me. He has blotted out every transgression. He's purged my iniquities. He's cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And I am in right standing because I am in Christ, and Christ is my righteousness. Amen. Question is, have you given your life fully to Jesus? Well, today is the opportunity we have to say, Lord, I pledge my allegiance to You. I pledge my faith to You. I give You my life. Everything is now Yours. And everything you have is now mine. That's a pretty good deal. Hallelujah. And that's what He invites you to. There's going to be a wedding. And the invitations are going out. And those who make light of it will not be there. But those who repent and turn to Jesus will find mercy and will be welcomed into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus said, to those who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Turn to Jesus today. That's it. Maybe take a moment right now to say, Lord, is there anything that's not right between You and me? Are there any idols in my heart? Are there things in me, Lord, or things in my life that are taking Your place? I want to encourage you right now to open up your heart and let the Holy Spirit shine the light and reveal to you if there's something you need to repent of today, that you'll confess it to the Lord and renounce it and give Him access to you. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, thank You that You invite us to Your banqueting table. You invite us into Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for the cross. Just confess it. Say, Lord, please forgive me of any sins. Lord, sins that I know of, sins that I don't know of. And Lord, if I have unforgiveness in my heart, I ask You to give me the grace right now to forgive those who trespass against me. Now, Lord, I ask You to reveal to me if there's any unforgiveness towards anyone, towards any brother or sister. Lord, if I'm holding any grudges against anyone, reveal it to me. And now take a moment. Take a moment. If the Lord has revealed somebody to you, maybe there's several, you need to make a choice, an act of your will to submit your will to God's will. And choose to forgive that person. And the way I do it is I just speak to that person. in my heart, if I can't go to them in person, make it right, I just speak their name. And I say, in Jesus' name, I choose to forgive you. I release you from all debt. You owe me nothing. You're free to go. In Jesus' name. And then I say, Lord, thank you that I am forgiven because of your blood, because of your mercy, because of the grace you've shown me. I didn't deserve what you did for me, but you gave yourself for me. Lord, is there anybody else in my life that I need to forgive? Just take a moment right now. Don't be in a hurry with this. Speak their name. Just speak to them in the presence of the Lord and let them go. I forgive you. It means to cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. I choose in Jesus' name to forgive you. You may go. Lord, thank you that I am forgiven. Hallelujah. I receive my forgiveness. Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Is there anybody else? Ask the Lord. Show me, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Glory to your name. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I am alive and well. Your spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. Hallelujah. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Hallelujah. Oh, amazing love. I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm forgiven. Do you receive it today? Are you forgiven today? Have you peace with God today? Hallelujah. So let's partake of this today in memory of what the Lord has done for us. His broken body on the cross. We just take the film off the very top. And take the bread. Hallelujah. This represents the broken body of our Lord. It was broken for us. He paid for our healing at the highest cost. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you that you are willing to take our place. And thank you, Lord, that today, because of your sacrifice, healing is available now. And Lord, we pray, as we partake of this, that you'd release your healing virtue to make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. Be healed in Jesus' name. Now we partake of the cup. Remember, this is the represents the cup, the marital wine, the third cup. The cup that says, I am a spouse to you. I pledge my faith to you. By drinking of this cup, I am declaring that I receive your invitation to be joined to you forever. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Hallelujah. And the blood that sanctifies us and sets us apart as your bride, as your people. And take this cup and drink it. Amen. In remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.